Yeah. Hi, Wendy. Nice to see you. All right. But anyway, today, what we're going to do for a few moments' time is we're going to go back in the past, and then we're going to go into the future. And then we're going to see ourselves in between the past and the future. And it's like the tree of life in the garden, but the tree of life is in heaven. We're not there yet. Our lives basically are run between the two trees. What do you do between the two trees? How do you live? I believe in the fivefold ministry. I believe in the apostle, someone who comes, male or female, with great vision to see the kingdom of God go ahead. I believe in the prophet, and the prophet comes with a warning. And many of our churches and people need warnings because Jesus is coming back very soon. And he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And he's not talking about the physical wrinkle. And then there's the pastor who loves and protects his sheep. Then there's the teacher who feeds the sheep. Then there's the evangelist that stirs the hearts of people to get off their butts and win souls for God. To do something that means something for the kingdom of God. Too many times, and one of the greatest compliments I get, people say to me, "You've never changed." Thank you. My character has changed, my vision has changed, but I haven't changed with the passion to see people get saved. There's no doubt in my mind this morning, there's people sitting here, common sense, I don't need a word of knowledge, that there's people sitting here this morning that you're going through hell backwards. Some of you feel like you've been pulled through a knothole. Some of you are down and discouraged and alone and depressed. I understand that. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Somebody I know got cancer, and someone said, "Well, you know, you got cancer. Wow, I feel so bad. And why you?" She said, "Why not me? Why not me?" There's people sitting here this morning that could see, could no longer see. Could walk properly, no longer can walk properly. That had great marriages, now you've been through a divorce. You've had everything that you wanted and you went bankrupt. You had friends and you had family and you were close and now you're drifted apart. There was one time you were filled with joy and peace and today you're lonely and you feel tormented. Don't look around. Look within. If you would open your Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus chapter 4, I'm going to read a story about one of the greatest men of God that ever lived. No, it's not me. It's Moses. In chapter 4, it says, "And Moses answered," because God said to Moses, "I want you to go. I want to use you to set my people free." He said that in chapter 3, verse 10. "And Moses answered and said to him, 'Behold, they will not believe me.'" That's the excuse that a lot of people use not to witness, not to share their faith, not to talk about the negative things in their life when someone's going through the very same thing that they're gone through. They won't share it. He said, "They won't believe me, and they won't listen to me. They will say, 'The Lord has not appeared unto you.'" I had an old preacher tell me one time, "Silas, if you are praying for someone who is sick and they drop dead, step over them and pray for someone else." Too many times we got our eyes caught on the people that don't get healed, the people that don't get saved, the people that don't change, the people that don't want this and don't want that. But I want you to know there's lots of hungry people in our neighborhoods that really want what we have. And then he says this. Verse 2, "And the Lord said to him, 'What is in your hand?'" As if God didn't know, huh? What's in your hand? Duh. Duh. A rod. But God knew, didn't he? And he says this, "And he said unto him, 'Cast it down to the ground.' He cast it to the ground and it became a snake." That's kind of freaky, huh? You got your purse you've carried around for years or a wallet. And the Lord calls you and he says, "Throw that down." You throw your purse on the ground, it turns to a snake. That's freaky. You imagine what's going through his head? I've been carrying that for 40 years, and the whole time it's been a snake? And then he tells them this. He says, throw it to the ground, and it became a snake. And then the Lord said unto him, put forth your hand and take it by the tail. He's giving instructions that you would to a child. Pick it by the tail. I've caught snakes. You don't catch them by the head. No one needed to tell me, oh, Silas, don't grab it by the head. I knew. He said, catch it by the tail. Moses knew that. He had just come out of 40 years in the wilderness. He had seen many rattlesnakes. He knew what they were. He knew how they functioned and what they did. And then he says to him, in verse 5, and he said, in verse 4, and as he caught it again, and it became a rod in his hand. Pick your purse back up by the tail. And then he says, and the Lord said, and he caught it by a tail and it became a rod in his hand. And then the Lord says, and they may believe that the Lord your God, that he is God, and that he has appeared unto you. Go with me to the future. Go with me to Revelations chapter 12. One verse. This is in the worst time in human history. The rapture of the church has happened. The bride is in heaven. And all hell is breaking loose on earth. Satan and all the demons of hell are there. The Holy Spirit is limited. But there are people being saved. People coming back to Christ that had missed the rapture. But now they're in this midst of a terrible time. And we're going to look into that verse. And it says in verse 11, and they overcame him who? Satan, the Antichrist. By the blood, right? Of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And number 3, they didn't love their own life. They were willing to die for that. That's the future. But that can be now. So we got to stop this morning and we've got to ask ourselves a few questions. But before we do, we're going to talk about Moses for a quick moment. Let me give you the autobiography of this man. This man was born in a time when the Pharaoh was killing all of the firstborn men, boys, not girls. His mother, when he was born, looked at him and knew that there was something special about this guy, Moses. She didn't want him to be killed. So she did something amazing, a very tremendous act of faith. She went and she took some bushes and she tied them together and she made them waterproof. She took the little baby Moses and she shoved them out into the river. She would rather have the crocodiles eat him than him die by the sword of one of Pharaoh's soldiers. But she was trusting God. Hear God. You take care of him. I know you will. Moses' sister is running along the top of the shore, and she's watching her baby brother float. Then she sees Pharaoh's daughter, of all people, come out, and she hears the baby crying. She says, go get that. They brought it back. She fell in love with the baby. Then she says, I need a woman to breastfeed this child. Way back before carnation milk and Similac and all that. She knew they wouldn't be hard to find because there was a lot of women who had just lost their babies. She calls the girl who's Moses' sister. Moses' sister goes, gets Moses' mother. Moses' mother comes and she's now the surrogate mother of this child. Getting paid for it, too. Ain't God good? Now, Moses, he grew up in Pharaoh's court. He was prince, really. Prince Moses, really. And he had a sword on him everywhere he went because he was prince. But through the years, his mom, she told him who she was, what his roots were, and told him the story. I believe it had to be her. When he realized who he was, he wanted to do something about that. So one day he goes downtown and he sees an Egyptian soldier beating up on a Jewish man. Bible says that it was premeditated murder. Moses looked this way. Read it when you go home. Moses looked that way, and he took out a sword and he killed him. And he buried him in the sand. And that little Jewish man ran home safe and sound. The next day, Moses goes to town, the same place. He sees two Jews fighting, like you often see two Christians fighting. And he said, "What are you doing fighting with one another?" They said, "What are you going to do? Are you going to kill us like you killed that soldier?" And Moses knew right away. The enemies will be the enemies of your own household, not strangers. So he took off running. And he hid it on the backside of the desert. I never knew a desert had a backside till I read it in the Word. On the backside of the desert, 40 years. He comes by one day and he sees a bush burning. He looks at the bush, but it's not being consumed. And he goes over. He starts to walk over and the voice says, "Stop. Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground." We need to get that back. He slipped his shoes off, and God placed a call upon his life. Moses stuttered. Moses didn't have confidence. He said, "God, I need someone to help me." God said, "I'll give you Aaron." Sometimes the desires of your heart don't work out that good, you know. And there's the story. And now God says to Moses, "I want to use you to free the people." Do you believe that God wants you to use you to free people? To set people free? He does. So God says to him, "What is that in your hand?" "The rod." Why did Moses have a rod in his hand? Because he messed up. Don't tell me, don't come to me after service and say, "Brother Silas, I believe that was divine will of God, and God worked that all out, and God did it that way. God let him kill him, and God knew that he was going to 40 years, and he was going to come back." No, no, no. God's not in murder any more than God's into abortion. He messed up. He took the law in his own hands. He tried to be a savior all by himself, and because he did, he lost his sword. He could have grew up in Pharaoh's court, had the anointing of God, and freed the nation a whole different way. But he didn't. He says, "What do you got in your hand?" He says, "A rod." You know why he has the rod? He messed up. That's the only reason he had that rod in his hand. And you know what? There's not one of us here that has not messed up. Not one of us here that doesn't have faults. Not one of us here that doesn't have failures. Not one of us here has not suffered the consequences of our own sin. Now, thank God for forgiveness, but there's consequences to sin. There's not one here that doesn't have baggage. Can I hear an amen? There's not one person sitting here this morning that doesn't have regrets. Please don't come to me after the service and say to me, "Well, not me. Not me. I'd be afraid what I would say to you. Liar, liar, pants on fire, for sure." We all mess up. If I could kick the person in the backside that caused me the most problems in my life, I wouldn't sit down for a week. Because I'd kick myself. I and you are our own worst enemy. But then people mess up our lives. Can I hear an amen? People come into our lives, and they mess up our lives. Maybe you've gone to the doctor, got an operation, everything went wonky, and you're not the same because the doctor made a mistake. He messed up. Maybe you've gone through a divorce because your spouse just said, "Listen, I'm done." And you're there, "Please, no, don't. No, I'm done." Maybe you got a criminal record because you messed up. But not only do we mess up, not only do people mess up our lives for us sometimes, but just life I told my wife on my tombstone, I want life stinks, but God is good. She said, I'm not putting it in the tombstone. I said, I'm coming back. She said, I'll make sure it's done. Because life does stink. I saw Doug this morning. I see her this morning. I look at Gary this morning and Edry and Ruth and different ones that have lost loved ones. Life's hard. Can I hear an amen? Life's not easy. Unless you're very narrow-minded and so heavenly-minded you're no earthly good. And you're walking around with blinders on and you're denying reality. Life is hard. But God is good. And thank God that when we mess up, we can get forgiveness. Thank God when people mess up, we can forgive them. And life. We have to embrace life. Pastor Troy is a good pastor. He's a good man. He's a great father. But he's not having a good time right now. And I know some of these name it and claim it and grab it and blab it would say, hey, sin. That's life. Can you imagine? You imagine us that are born again, washed in the blood, have our names written down in heaven and we're waiting for Jesus. Can you imagine if it never snowed in our yards? Just think about that for a second. 12 inches of snow in northern New Brunswick. And we walk out in the morning with our coffee. You know, and there's John on one side and Frank on the other side and Art on the other side of the road. And they're shoving like dogs. And we don't have nothing. They say, how come there's no snow in your yard? Because I'm a born-again believer. That's right. I'm saved by the blood. Hallelujah. You know how many people would become Christians just so they wouldn't have to shovel snow again? What if it rained only on Christian gardens? The people all around you were working like dogs, but not you. Oh, no. You just sit in your house and just a little cloud comes. Can you imagine if sickness only knocked on the sinner's door? Imagine. How many people would be knocking on your door and my door and say, how can you be so healthy and strong and you haven't lost a loved one? You've never had a stroke. You've never gone blind. You've never had gallbladder surgery. Nothing. How come? Born again. Just like Jesus said. Imagine if you never had a marriage problem. Ever. Perfect marriage. Hi, morning, honey, sweetie, pet. Imagine if your children were all perfect. How conceited and proud and arrogant would every one of us be? You'd have to slap us to get our heads out of the clouds. Life has a way of bringing us all to the same level. There's times I love my wife, most times. Most times. Sometimes, not so much. There's days I know she just loves me. Other days, I'm going out on the porch. Yeah, you should. Bye. What do you got in your hand? What is in your life? Because you messed up, someone else messed up, or the world messed up for you. Are you going to be like a lot of born-again believers and just bury that like Moses did, the soldier? Just bury it and never talk about it again. And no matter who comes by your life, I had a preacher, a very well-known preacher. I went and preached for him. And he told me a story after a week of meetings. I mean, he was a fantastic preacher. He said to me, Silas, I had a man in our church. One morning, he stood up in church, right in testimony time, and he said, I don't know what to believe. I don't know if I believe. I'm going through the hardest time in my life. I don't know if God is real, God is true, God is nothing. He said, I stood on the platform and said nothing. Nobody in that church said a word. I just counseled some people, and you know what? One of the people that I was counseling, they think that no answer is not an answer. But no answer is an answer. So if I walk up to you and I say, do you like me? And you go, oh, you don't like me, don't judge me. Well, you just said, I didn't say a thing. Oh, I know, it's about what you didn't say. Too many of us are burying the very things that our neighbors need. We're hiding our divorces and our past addictions and our failures and our shortcomings. I preached across this nation, into the States, down in Bermuda. I preached in hundreds of churches. And many times the preachers would sit there. And they wouldn't have me back. Too raw. Too clear. Too convicting. Too precise. Just tell us, God loves you unconditionally. God is watching over you in unconditional love. Well, why would you want to change? Why would you want to repent? Why would you even want to pray if they're telling you that God is sovereign and there's nothing that happens without God's permission? Why would you pray? Why would you bind the devil? Why would you fast? Why would you intercede if God is sovereign? In total 100% control, why would you even need a devil? See, these things comfort us, but they rob us of our zeal to share our heart. So he says, what you have in your hand? I got a rod. Yeah, because you got it in your hand, you messed up. You know that God never took that rod out of Moses' hand? Ever. It stayed with him his whole life. In fact, God even saved the rod later. Moses knew, I got this in my hand because I messed up. I got this in my hand because I took the law in my own hand. I got this in my hand because I tried to be Savior and do it my way when I got to do it God's way. You ever trying to figure out who somebody is and they say, you know, he's the guy that owns Greco Denier. Or it's the woman with the husband with all the tattoos there. You know, it's the guy that went bankrupt. Remember that guy? Well, he went bankrupt. Remember him? Yeah. Well, the guy that left his wife and four kids, that guy there. Don't we all do that? I can see it in the old times when after the garden, Adam and Eve sitting around and some young pup says, who's that old couple over there? Oh, that's the ones who are in the garden, messed everything up for us. See, people know about us. Can I hear an amen? Why are we hiding it? Say, what's in your hand? I said, it's a rod. What's in your hand? I've been in jail twice. I should have spent years and years and years and years in jail. I went bankrupt. I was in a bad marriage. My wife left me. I had a girlfriend. She had a boyfriend. We got back together and God saved us and changed our lives completely. Do you know how many times I've used my life when someone's walking through the valley of the shadow of death? People who said, I lost my mom. I know what it's like. I lost my mom. My brother died of cancer at 54. My brother died of cancer at 54. I had a panic attack. I've had panic attacks. You sit and you lay your heart out because you know what? That's the rods that you have because you messed up, someone messed up, or it's just life. And people need to hear because we come to church and we put it on. Can I hear an amen? We put it on. You'd think we never had a fault, never had a failure, never had a shortcoming, never sinned. We never had any consequence or anything. We put it on big time. See, I'm not here today for the self-righteous ones here. I'm not here for the religious Pentecostals here. I'm here for the hurting and the lost and the lonely. And I want you to know that I have walked where you have walked. And if I haven't walked where you have walked, I will find somebody that has and I will bring them to you. So you will understand that God is God and He loves you and He can bring us through. Hallelujah. He can bring you through. Amen. I was looking at Susan this morning, you know, paper, big notes, she can't see, but she's here. She's here. She's not home complaining. You're here. You imagine, I can't go to church because I'm blind. I can't go to church because I had a stroke. I can't go to church because my loved one died. I can't. And you get bitter and self-centered. And no one wants to be around you. But if you can say to them, you know what? I don't know why this really happened, but I want you to know that God's been with me every step of the way. What is in your hand? It's this. Throw it down. Give it to God. Give it to God. Number three, see the both sides. It doesn't make any difference what you and I have been through. There's two sides to it. It either can be a blessing for others, or it can fill us with poison, bitterness, resentful. Why me, God? Why did I lose my sight? Why did I have a stroke? Why did my husband die? Why did my daughter die? Why did I get this? Why do I have cancer? Why? Why? And what's happening is that we're letting that fill us with doubt and fear and resentment. And when somebody else walks by and says, listen, I hear you had cancer. I'm not a Christian. Yeah, I don't know why God did it to me. But isn't it beautiful when somebody says, listen, I know I have cancer. I don't understand it all. But I want you to know that I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And I want you to know I have a home prepared where the saints abide just over in the glory land. And I don't know why my husband died, but I know I'm going to see him again. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. I don't know why my kids have backslidden, but I want you to know I'm praying, believing, and living for God. And he's going to bring them back to me again and to the kingdom of God, no matter what anybody says. Hallelujah. What do you got in your hand? I got this. Throw it down. Give it to me. See the both sides. Blessing or curse. Now pick it up. But pick it up right. Control it. Don't let it control you. I've caught snakes, lots of snakes. I'm telling you the truth, as a kid. And catch them by the tail. And you could actually snap it and break its neck. Once, you could actually control that snake. See, too many times we let things control us. I like Alcoholics Anonymous, AA. But you know what? You can be in AA for 40 years and they'll say to you, hi, my name is Silas and I'm an alcoholic. You're still holding on. I say, no, I'm Silas Matchett and I was an alcoholic. I've been set free by the power of God. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You can't hold on to something and keep it pouring poison into you. Oh my God, tomorrow I could drop. Tomorrow I could take a drink. Tomorrow I could go get stoned. Tomorrow I might. You can't live like that. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. He said, what do you got? I got this. Throw it down. See the both sides. Now handle it right. I never share my story unless it's for the glory of God and to help people. I don't just get up and say it to say it. I've had people come over the years, come up to me, like I said, preach thousands of places, and come up to me and say, man, you were in jail. I've been in jail. You were molested as a child. Yes, I was. I was molested. How did you get over that? How do you live without that? How do you get beyond the scars of that? How do you not let it control your head and your mind? You've got to look in the future for that. Pick it by the tail, he said. You know Moses, you read the story? I didn't read that one part. He ran when it turned to a snake. Read it. Don't run from your mess-ups. Don't run from other people's mess-ups. And don't run from the world's mess-ups. Don't run. Stop. Stop. You think it's easy? It's never easy when someone is having panic attacks or a nervous breakdown to sit down with them and say, listen, I understand. First thing they say, no, you don't. I say, yes, I do. I've had panic attacks. As a Christian, as a pastor, as an evangelist, I've had panic attacks. They're real. I said, it's only in your head. Yeah, but it's in mine. It's in my head, not yours. Do you know how much comfort that brought to people? Well, how do you get through it? Three things. Three things. In the future, we can do it today. The Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Moses knew about the blood later on when he said, put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, the blood of Jesus. Amen. We've got to stay into the blood. How do you do that? How do you stay under the blood? When you mess up, fess up. When you sin, ask forgiveness. Don't justify it. How many know? Now, I'm not talking about myself here. Because I'm talking, how many here knows that none of you are perfect? I'm not talking about me now. Don't laugh. No. How many know there's not one of us here that's perfect? There's not one here. There's one thing that I do not like is self-righteous, arrogant, born-again believers that look down the nose at people that are walking through hell. It ticks me off. I say, how dare you? How dare you not help that person? How dare you look down at them? How dare you think you're better than them? How dare you not reach out that hand? See, we all can stay under the blood because we all mess up. I need another amen. But then the second thing is they overcame him, Satan, the Antichrist, because of the blood. And by the way, you don't get to heaven because you're baptized in water. And you don't get to heaven because you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. You get to heaven because you've received Jesus as your Savior, and he's washed your soul clean by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Nothing else. Nothing. Absolutely nothing else. You've got to stay under the blood. Number two, they overcame by the word of their testimony. I had people not too long ago, I don't know how to share the gospel. I don't know the Bible good enough. I said, you got a story? Do you have a story? Tell your story. Tell your story when you're sitting Tim Hortons. Tell your story when you're in the hospital room talking to somebody who's dying. Tell your story when you're talking to a runaway kid. Tell your story when you're sitting there talking to someone who's homeless. Tell your story. Because they overcame by the blood. But they also overcame him because of their testimony. Many of you will understand this. The more you tell your story of your encounter with Jesus and what he has forgiven you from and how he has changed you, the weaker those things become. I can talk about being molested as a child. I was molested by two men over a period of years when I was a kid. Mess up your head. But I noticed that every time I would share and someone would come to the altar and they would stand there crying and my uncle molested me, my brother molested me, and this one touched me. And I would say, I understand. I know what it's like. I've been there. I understand. You do? Yes, I do. And what God has done for me, God will do for you. Because yes, stay under the blood, but number two, share it. Share it with people who come to your home. Share it with people who open their hearts. And I'll tell you what, you do those two things, and you will not worry about your life in this world. You'll keep your eyes on the next world. It said, they love not their life till death. They had their eyes. Hebrews 12 and 1, looking on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You keep your eyes on Jesus. But I'll guarantee you, listen close to the preacher today, you will not keep your eyes on Jesus if you bury your past, refuse to stay under the blood, and refuse to share your heart story with people who are hurting and lonely and sick and dying and depressed and oppressed and possessed. You will not grow in your faith because you will condemn yourself, and rightfully so. But then you'll pull out that old verse, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. there is when you don't walk in the Word. There is when you don't stay under the blood. So I asked you a question this morning. What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your control because you messed up? What do you have in your life because someone else messed up? What do you have because just life has slapped you in the face hard? What do you have? What do you have? Give it to God. See it's both sides. Pick it up and handle it right. And then hold it out for those who need to see to see. I would love you to go home and read your Bible today in Exodus. And how Moses was, he used the rod to bring the judgment of God, didn't he? He used the rod to open the Red Sea. Huh? And you know what? Through his rod that he messed up and had it in his life, he saved the whole nation of Israel. Isn't that what it's about? You know how many people that I've had the honor to lead to Christ? I have a good friend of mine. I'm not going to say names or anything. This good friend of mine is dying of cancer. And this good friend of mine has had a rough life and has issues. But I've prayed for this friend over the years many times and visited them. Faith without works is dead. And my wife and I often talked and said, listen, we believe that that person's going to get saved before they die, and we're going to be there. Even if we're not, fine. But not too long ago, I went to see this person, and they're dying. They're literally dying. They were supposed to go in palliative care the night before. They said, no, I want to die home. So we go to visit. We were there 5-10 minutes, and somebody else came in, and we said, well, listen, we'll leave, and we'll come back. So we left. We went back home. 3 hours later, we get a phone call from this person. Not a believer, not a follower. Lots of issues. He says, Silas, I don't know what's going on, but I'm scared. And her voice is strong. And the voice said, it can't be her. I said, it's her. She went from 3 hours earlier, hi, how, I can't talk. I'm 3 hours later, Silas, I'm scared. I don't know what happened. I said, I'm coming right down. Here's her story. She's like this. She's gone from 200 pounds to 90-some pounds. Frail. She's dying. She's older. I left the house, get in the car, and I know a lot of people are praying for her, so I'm not talking about my prayers. But I said, Lord, reveal yourself to her. Because we love her. And you love her. I get to the house, she tells me. I went and laid on the couch. As I was laying on the couch, she said, Silas, I'm scared. I said, tell me your story. She said, the ceiling turned bright white, and it came right down to my nose, and it had scrolls in it. And she said, I closed my eyes. I opened my eyes, it went up. It came back down. I closed my eyes, opened my eyes, it went back up 3 times. She said, I had to go to bed, so they helped her into bed. Could hardly walk. I'm not exaggerating. Couldn't pick up the blankets, couldn't do anything. We put her in bed, picked up her legs, put the blankets over her. 3 hours later, they go to check on her. She's laying there. She says, something happened. I don't know what it is. She grabs the blankets, throws them off of her, throws herself out of bed. Voice is back, goes in the kitchen, calls me. On my way down, she scrubs the top of the stove, makes a pot of coffee. You know how many times we shared with her? You know how many times we talk to her about issues? Any time? So I said, "Do you believe this is God?" She said, "I certainly do." I said, "Would you pray with me? Accept Christ?" She said, "I will." And she took my hand and she received Christ as her Savior. Thank God that I have the blood of Christ on my soul, but thank God I have a story. And when you keep the story and the blood focused, you're not thinking of this world. See, Moses was thinking about that world. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. Moses was thinking of that world. He was like, "But they're not going to believe me. They're not going to listen to me." And God says, "Okay, I'll help you with that. You really believe it? I'm going to help you with that. What do you got in your life?" We all have those same fears, don't we? My own dad, my brother, and my mother, my brother-in-law, I've had the privilege of leading them to Christ. I never got along with my dad. When I was a young boy, I thought of shooting him, to tell you the truth. He kicked me out when I was 12, kicked me back out when I was 15 years old. I lived on the streets. 25 years old, I get saved in this little town at 205 Hillside Avenue. I started praying for my dad, and I started praying for my mom, and every chance I had, I said something proper, right, true. And I remember the day that we were leaving, Jackie and I, and my mom had gotten saved by then. And when I used to walk in the house, my dad would walk out. This particular night, we're leaving, it's snowing. Come down and put the kids in the car. My dad comes by and gives my wife a hug. And then he comes over to me with his hand out. And the Holy Spirit said, "Tell him you don't want a handshake. Tell him you want a hug." I said, "Dad, I don't want a handshake. I want a hug." And I fell into his arms. And I hugged him like I had never hugged him in my life. And God brought healing. And he kissed me on the cheek. And he said, "Me too." I backed out of that yard. I shouldn't have been driving. The tears running down my face. I could hardly see. Years later in the hospital, years later, he's dying. The nurse said to him, "Do you want a pastor? Get you a pastor, a priest or something?" Told my wife, he said, I told her, "I have a pastor." Jackie said, "Who's that?" It's Silas. I would pray with him and talk with him. What God, my 54-year-old brother, I sat with him in Ontario. He said, "Silas," he said, "I can't get saved. I've done a lot of bad things, man." I said, "Listen, I've done a lot of bad things too. I've done armed robberies, kidnapping. I've done a lot of bad things. And God has forgiven me." And he took my hand, my brother, and he prayed and said, "Jesus, come in my life." And 3 weeks later, he was dead, and I had his funeral. What an honor. What an honor. You know why? Because I learned a long time ago, and I think I learned it under Bill Loader. Win souls. Help the lost. Sit with the hurting. Be there. And I'm going to close at this. I've done hundreds of funerals. Hundreds. And when it first started happening, I thought they were lying. "Pastor Bob?" I didn't know. I thought they were just being nice. They would say to me, "Pastor Silas, I wouldn't have made it through without you." I said, "I didn't do anything, really." They said, "Oh, yes, you did. You were there." You know how many Christians don't go to funeral homes, don't go to wakes because I don't know what to say. All I was there. And I'd walk up and I'd see them crying. I'd say, let's go for coffee. Just natural stuff. Let's step out here and get a coffee. Let's go for a little walk. Let's go sit over in the corner. I got to stop. But you can feel it, can't you? Can't you feel that spirit? Can't you feel your heart being changed? Don't say yes if it's not. God is trying to say to you, listen, you see all these empty seats here? This ought not to be so. This ought not to be so. And don't worry about filling your church. Worry about winning people to Christ. Amen? I've led people to Christ. I'm going to Presbyterian church. Good. Bye. God bless you. Serve God. I'm going to the Wesleyan. Good. Bye. God bless you. I'm going to the Baptist. Goodbye. God bless you. Why? It's about souls. Souls. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Would you just worship with these people this morning? Just for a moment. Just keep in this atmosphere, but sing along with them this morning for a second. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name, God. Release the captives this morning. Free the self-righteous today. Free the those bound by fear. Yes. Yes. Raise your heart to God today. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Worship him this morning. He deserves your worship. Hallelujah. Give in to the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit tugs on your heart and soul and mind, and he's looking for something from you, walk from your seat to the front. No one needs to know why. Only you and the Holy Spirit. His name is healing. His name is life. Hallelujah. Every stronghold, thank you this power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you're not committed to Jesus, if you're one of these people that you're in and out of sin or you've never given your life to Christ, I want you to know that heaven is real and so is hell. People go to hell every day and people go to heaven every day. And the only thing that keeps you and I out of hell is the blood of Jesus and the born again experience. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you say, I've been coming here for a while, or just a short while, or a long while, but you know, I've never did what you did, Silas. I've never gone forward. I remember the morning at evangelist, and I remember leaving my seat, even though I gave my life to Christ at home. I went to the altar, and I made it public. I made it public. I am not ashamed. I'm giving my life to Christ. Please don't leave here today. Don't leave here today without that. You go to the altar to get buried. You go to the altar to get married. You go to the altar to get baptized. You go to the altar to get confirmed. You go to the altar to get prayed for. Make sure you go to the altar to give your life to Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I know you're not finished. I pray for healing for Susan today, for her eyes in the name of Jesus. I pray for Doug, oh God, with this stroke, that you would restore his body to where it was. You are a God, only you can save, only you can heal, and only you can deliver. So we do the possible and you do the impossible. I pray for Edry and Ruth, God, and Gary, God, that you would just help them with this hole in their heart that will never go away, oh God. But that, Lord, it can become stronger and stronger with the peace and the joy as they look to you and share with others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Just before I turn this service over to Pastor Bob, I want you to know something. With all of our faults and our failures and our shortcomings and our regrets and all the things, you're going to have people tell you, come and bring it to the altar. Bring it to the altar and leave it at the altar. You can't. It's a part of your DNA. It ain't going to stay here. That's a lie. That's a false hope. Whatever faults and failures are consequences of sin, only God can forgive and get sin. We can't forget at all. And they'll tell you to pray it away. Just pray it away. It ain't going away. It ain't going away. The hurt, the heartaches, the pain, the sorrow, the memories, the guilt, the shame, it ain't going to go away. And now they got a new thing out. I decree and I declare. I decree it's gone. I declare it's gone. I decree and I declare. Ain't going anywhere. We don't have that kind of power. But we do have the ability to say, God, wash me fresh in your blood. Forgive me of my sin. We have that power. We also have that power to share our testimony and find that every time we do, we feel more healed and more healed. And as we do that, we keep our eyes on Jesus. I've buried a lot of my family. And the thing that keeps me going is I know I'm going to see them again. Amen? Because of Jesus. You notice the altar? There ain't nobody here. You know why there's nobody here? Is it possible we're religious? Is it possible that we don't want to let our guard down? Is it possible that we now believe that this is just for weddings and funerals and baby dedications and water baptism? Is that possible? Is it possible that we no longer believe that He cares for us? And that God can use people to bring healing and strength in our lives? Is it possible? An empty altar says so. That's what it says to this preacher. I don't know anything about your church. I don't come here. I haven't been here for years and years and years and years. But let me ask you a question. I don't know the answer. Is that what you do every Sunday? Come to church, sit, listen, worship, go. Many of you here today remember the days when the altars were filled and you're crying out to God. You're falling on your face and you're not care. You don't care about anybody. You remember those days? The days that miracles happened around the altar. Can I hear an amen? Around the altar. They happened around the altar. Young men like him got filled with the Holy Spirit, got delivered from things in their lives, all because the gifts and the calling of God were on everybody. You don't know when God's going to use you. You don't know when you're going to walk up there and the gift of healing is going to work right through you. You don't know when you walk over and pray for someone standing next to you that the gift of knowledge is not going to happen to you. But you're never going to know sitting like this. You're just never going to know. Being a Christian is exciting. So I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Bob, and I'm going to shut my mic off, and I'm going to pray for people, and it's been a blessing being with you. I thank you. I thank your pastor. I trust that this word will bring back fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. God bless you richly.
Members of the Breakthrough team, if you would like to come and pray for those who have come. Let's continue to wait on the Lord today. If you have to go, God bless you. Thank you, Silas, for bringing the word of the Lord to us today.
Shake up the ground of all my traditions.